Hello, hello everyone. Welcome back. If you're new to me, I'm Shu Allegra, the founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. I feel like those of you who follow us probably know our mission statement by heart now, because we say it pretty much every episode. Everything we do here evolves around resilience, and I'm inviting new and old friends to the table just to talk more about it, get to know them, what they do, and then how all of that ties into resilience so that we can learn from their wisdom and apply those nuggets along our own journey as well. So today I have Jen with me. Jen, do you mind just introducing yourself and letting us know what you do?
Hi. So I'm Jen Nash, and I'm an author, a speaker, executive coach, and a corporate trainer. And I am the author of The Big Power of Tiny Connections, How Small Interactions Spark Awesome Outcomes. And it's a pretty inspiring, fun read that really encourages people to lean into the number one thing that I can change, think that Sorry, the number one thing that I think can change lives, and that's connection. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for being here. And I just want to hear more about it. So my first thought and first thing that comes to my mind, it's like, how, what led to even writing the book? Like, what's the story behind the story?
I mean, it's not hard to guess. Like, we hit a pandemic and I literally felt like my whole world just dried up. And, you know, I think I was deluding myself in terms of like what was important to me and how much of that I was adding to my life. And when the pandemic took away all those little moments to connect, from the coffee shop to the subway to the bus to the train to the plane, like we lost so many moments to interact with the world around us, I was really left wondering, you know, what makes me happy, you know, and how do I do it? And I was in a writing club and they literally asked us, if you had to bottle what makes you special, what would that be? And the book is the outcome of that. And it's, you know, part Mary Poppins, you know, part, you know, Pollyanna, in terms of like, how do you make the world a better place?
Yeah.
And how do you want to show up so that you get more out of life? And that's how the book is set up. I ask the reader, what do you want more of? Do you want to make more money? You want a better job? You want to be a better person? You want to get invited to more parties? Do you want to get laid more? Like, there's a chapter for everything.
Love it. Love it. So speaking of resilience, you know, during COVID, like I said, we're all stuck at home, and then now don't you reinvented yourself and reinvented your time, found, you know, something meaningful to do for yourself. But I think also the thought of, you know, doing something that others can gain from, you know, and I often say the beauty of writing books is that they'll outlive all of us. It becomes a legacy you leave for generations to come. And so for you, like you're saying, it's kind of figure, okay, what makes me happy, right? It's kind of those connections around us. And you're so right that during COVID, we, all of us, became more aware of those. I often say even our friends who maybe were identified as introvert, now during COVID, probably realizing a little more the benefit of those connections, right? Even if you're introvert, you still are connected to people somehow. And that enhances all well-being for all of us. So many research out there, but, you know, just the downside, if you want, of, you know, being disconnected, being lonely, not having a support system, not people around you, whether it's virtual or in person, right? Those really go a long way. And so without giving out too much, right, what are maybe some of those ways that people could build those connections? I'm thinking about, you know, my own life. I'm originally from Africa. I've been here in the state as an adult for almost 18 years this year. But one thing that I was even telling a friend just yesterday, how I miss that sense of community, right? Because I have a lot of people around me, but the way we do community here, it's not the way we do it back home in Africa. So even for me, as much as people are like, you're well connected, a lot of people know you, I still kind of feel there is a gap there. You know, and so maybe what are some of the tips in the book that, you know, you might don't mind sharing with us on how to build those tiny connections that, you know, have deeper meaning for us?
I would be happy to share some ideas. And I do think, you know, it is interesting because our sense of community changes with how we live, right? People who live in, you know, small little towns where there may only be like 40 houses, they can walk outside their door and bang on a neighbor's door and they get that sense of community, borrowing eggs or milk or sugar or sharing a beer around the campfire, you know, that's community. But, you know, when you live in a big city, it's harder. And so that's actually one of the reasons I set the book up around what do you want more of? Because if you want, you know, a better work life and you are hoping to like make better work connections, how do you do that? And I walk people through how you follow up. And one of the keys is don't try and constantly be asking people to help you. We really always have to be thinking about how do we connect with people as people? How do we connect with people in terms of something that resonates for them? And when you're talking to someone at work, you know, sometimes the conversation will go into the personal. Maybe they're planning a trip. Maybe they want to try a specific restaurant. And when you follow up, maybe you've done a little research. Maybe they were going to Portugal. So you send them some restaurants and some ideas of what they could do in Portugal. Or maybe they were heading to Nashville to try a certain type of barbecue restaurant. Maybe you do the research and you get them some great ideas on barbecue restaurants in Nashville, you know, and it's how are you showing up for them? Because when you show up for them, they're going to respond. They're going to be like, oh, wow, they're not asking me for anything. They're being fully present with me. That's pretty awesome. You know, have you ever had an experience in your life where someone actually gave you something almost without you asking, you know, and that really helped you respond?
No, I love that. And I think, especially when we're all seeking that community, that sense of community, whether it's, you know, in this post, we're not quite out of COVID yet, but just, you know, post COVID per se world, or even, you know, before that, coming with the intention of kind of pouring into the other person, it just shifts, I guess, the whole conversation, right? Because if I'm coming or expecting to get something out of it per se, I can be left disappointed, right? Not because someone is doing, you know, someone is doing anything per se, but what happened is, you know, all of us, no human being can fill all our voids, right? So if we're coming with the intention of, you know, I'm going to come to this connection, this relationship, this job, you know, to get all my needs met, because it's impossible to have all your needs met in one place. You're left feeling disconnected, although the connections are there, right? And so with that alone, you know, it's coming with the intention, like you said, to be pouring into someone else makes a difference. And then when you pour, the more you pour, the more you connect, I think. You know, so did I get that right? That's how I operate, but I just wondering if that's kind of the same idea you're going for.
Absolutely. And I think it's all about showing up. Like, do you show up? Are you focused? Are you present in that moment for that person's like conversation or what they were sharing? I mean, it could be as simple too as like cats. People love their cats. People love their dogs. Maybe you were bonding with someone over cats and dogs and you just send them the coolest flea collar that you've ever seen, or you send them one of those light up dog collars so that you can watch your dog run in circles in the middle of the backyard late at night. And it's hilarious. You know, people are making time delayed, you know, videos. That kind of stuff may seem silly, but it's the foundation of friendship and humanity and community. And so some of my chapters actually step people through. So then what? Because I'm fascinated with, like, I lecture at companies and I lecture at colleges. And a lot of the times the questions I get, you know, are, and then what? And then how do I follow up, right? So it's really like, you make the connection, you wait a week and a half, you follow up, you check in, hey, how did that land? Did you buy that collar? How's your week going? Nothing else. Maybe a week and a half later, you follow up and then maybe you ask them a question. Hey, what's going on with this, that, or the other thing, right. You know, like, you can really slowly over time build connection where they're reaching out. And I mean, I've met people very casually and I've suggested, you know, within a month or so, hey, do you want to grab a coffee? Do you want to take a walk? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they respond very positively. Yeah, sure. Let's do that. And it's amazing. And I mean, COVID slowed us down, but people were still having virtual drinks, right?
Right.
And that actually does create a sense of calm and connection. Mm-hmm. So I think you can build on almost anything. It's just a matter of, you know, wondering, how am I showing up for them? You know, how am I supporting them? And I mean, I think that's also the foundation of why I encourage people to work with executive coaches, mm-hmm. you know, because we don't often, you know, have someone who just holds space for us, right? Because mm-hmm. we're always reaching out for everyone else. And so it's amazing to be able to hold space. And I think it's very supportive of resilience.
Yes, definitely. Because all of us, you know, need that support system, whether it's at work, at home, in the community, right? And especially when you are going through a rough time, that, you know, facing any type of adversity, you need a support system to help you, or, you know, to support you along the, you know, during that time. But I think, like you're saying, those connection gets built before the adversity comes. It gets built before the challenge comes, right? So you want to be intentional about making those connections before. And, you know, it sounds like the secret sauce is in the follow through, right? It's following up. And as you're talking, it made me think about how I think people are quick to follow up with, like, you know, after a job interview, right? It's like, oh, I applied for the job. I didn't hear it yet. It's been a week, so I'm going to send a note. I'm going to send a follow-up email, right? And after that, you know, if I'm going to wait a little bit, maybe you get the interview. After the interview, you're going to follow up again. I think, especially in the corporate spaces, you know, professional arena, we're so kind of just programmed, if you want to do that, because expect that, you know, it shows that you're interested in the job, that you want it, that you're pursuing it. But why not do the same thing, right? At home, why not do the same thing in your church, in your, you know, civic clubs, you know, in the community? Because I think the importance of connecting is the same, whether it's a job or, you know, a friendship or partnership, you know, showing people that, you know, that you care, that you, they matter, that it's important, they're important to you, you know, it goes a long way, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I mean, it's probably one of the reasons the book is set up in the way it is, like, so that you can pick and choose, because there is an opportunity in every direction. And it's funny, someone kept saying networking, networking, network. And I said, I specifically did not use the word networking, A, because it's got the word working in it.
And exactly. You have to do a lot of work.
To get that net. But also, like, connection sounds like it's an opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Connection is fun and it's got a little zing to it. Ooh, exactly. We have a connection, exactly. You know,
it's all like want and need to connect, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, connection has a joy to it that I think is irrevocable. And I think when we lean into human connection, you know, we thrive. Like, my first chapter is all about how loneliness is killing us. Yes. You know, loneliness impacts our body the same way being obese does, the way smoking 15 cigarettes does, the way higher blood pressure does. It's terrible. Loneliness is very unhealthy.
Yeah. So actually, I'm doing some, you know, continue some research that started actually about, you know, a year or so ago, and then put it to rest and started again about just that the impact of loneliness on mental health, the well-being in general, just mental health per se, but well-being in general. And everything you say, I echo, definitely physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially, when we're not connected, when we don't feel connected, you know, impacts us, you know, such negative ways. And so, you know, no matter what you're dealing with, you know, with in your life, I think that alone, being feeling alone, you know, it's a big hurdle. And addressing that, you know, will reap such, you know, benefits, I think, overall, you know, in every area of life. Yeah. And it's good to have people like you who are, you know, invested in helping all of us build this connection so that we can thrive.
Definitely. Yeah. And it is interesting because, like, right now, the big thing that companies are really stressed out about is everybody quitting.
Yeah.
Is where everybody's quitting. and they're not coming back to work or they're switching jobs. It really depends. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I think companies could lean into is the stats around friendship and happiness and productivity. When we're happier, we're more productive. When we're making friends, we're happier. 61% of people would turn down a higher offer from another company if they had five or more friends at their company. Like that's huge.
Yes.
That's huge.
It's huge.
And so, you know, I work with companies who are trying to support connection in upper management as well as middle management, because when those people are supporting, everything's uplifted.
Exactly. I was reading an article from Harvard Business, and they're talking just about that, how, like you said, not just people are leaving, but those who are staying are staying because of connections in the workplace. You know, that make work more meaningful. And I often say there is more to work than just a paycheck. You know, the intrinsic, you know, benefits of working outweigh any dollar sign that you get at the end of the week or the month or, you know, whatever. Often, you know, you're getting paid because there's more to work than cash. And so those connections definitely, like you're saying, are so important. And even when you come to a job where you don't have friends yet, you don't have the connection. Once you start making those connections, it just changes your life in so many ways. I have a very good friend of mine who actually I got to see yesterday. We met at a job. And oh my goodness, that's been, I want to say, 10 years ago. Because when we met, I was just thinking about the age of my kids. I was actually pregnant with my middle child. And he's 10. So about close to 11 years ago. And we've left that job a long time ago. We've all done different things. She got married, got kids of her own. But that friendship that was birthed, if you want, from that workplace, now is like, she's someone that I talk to every single day. I can imagine doing life without her, because she's almost like a sister at this point. It's that close. So, you know, it is important, and not that everybody has to be best buddy at work, but when we feel connected at work, like you say, we just thrive. You know, work is more enjoyable. It's like you're going to hang out with friends, people you get along with. Then you know, talking about the whole, you know, team effect too. If I get along with the people around me, then I work better with those people. And then not only the team, you know, it's more effective, but the company also wins, because then, you know, productivity is not up the roof.
Yeah, agreed. And they're saving tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, on the cost of replacing employees. It's so expensive. It really is. They say on average, it's like between a third and a half of your salary to replace you, just in, you know, HR manpower, but also all the extra hours that all the other people are absorbing when you're not there, or they're trying to ramp someone up. It's very expensive.
Right.
And so I'm actually fascinated that companies are not doing more. You know, I am a huge advocate of companies offering coaching to employees, you know, as well as doing trainings that really help facilitate people just loving their job more. Like, I love the stat that 41% would rather die than speak in public. And I do a masterful storytelling training, which really helps people get a grasp of presentation skills. And when you know the story to tell, and you know why the story is that you're telling, all of a sudden your presentation writes itself. So that kind of clarity that you can give to employees, I'm always shocked when companies are like, they're wishy-washy about it. But I mean, at the end of the day, I guess everybody has different priorities.
Right. And that's the sad thing, you know, so when kind of taking with that same, around those same lenses, like people are leaving because they're not happy, or leave because they don't have connections, or they're there but not able to, you know, do their job as well because they're not having the support or the training they need. Not only the company is spending money doing that, but also those who are staying are not always productive. You know, when all the other things are happening, people are calling off because today is just a bad day. I'm going to take a mental health day, right? Like, I'm, as a mental health advocate and professional, I encourage people to take mental health day when they need it. But here's the caveat with that. It's like when it becomes like the only card they have out, you know, to take like the only way out of, you know, out of whatever is going on at work. Again, productivity, dollars, you know, everything kind of plummets because, you know, it's not happening. And for them too, it's, how's that affecting them at home? Why is that, how's that affecting their health? So it's a win-win when I think organizations start being more intentional about employee well-being, right? Because not just from the emotional part of it per se, but if I feel confident in my job, I show up more, right? So then give me the training that I need so I can show up more at work and want to come because I'm seeing that I'm making a difference. I'm seeing I'm good at what I do. That sense of achievement, you know, is important to all of us. So definitely, yeah.
Work no, for sure. I would love to know, have you ever worked somewhere where they did something really supportive of you, where you felt that connection, where you felt that they cared? Like, and what did they do that supported you feeling more productive? If you have any thoughts.
I'll say one of the jobs that I had, I was working as a contractor for a company, and although I was never a regular employee, but they, as a contractor, you know, I was got a little more freeway per se, if you want, you know, compared to a full-time employee there. But when I needed to take no time off because of health issues, not only they could say, well, no, we're back to this contract, you know, we're going to cancel everything, and then, you know, you kind of lose the contract. But not only that, they understood, allow me to take the time off, and we kind of revisit the contract, you know, rewrote it in the way that worked for both of us. But guess what? After a year and a half, they called me to say, hey, we still want you to do this contract for us, you know? And so it was having people seeing the value in what I do, how it gets back to showing up, right? That had nothing to do per se with whatever challenge I was facing at the moment. So when I work with corporate, to what I often hear, with employees, it's like, well, all they want out of me is what I can provide. They don't see me as a person, I'm a number. Right. So when people start seeing if leaders in the workplace start seeing their employee, their staff member, team members as people first, right? Before, you know, think of the output and all of that, it makes a huge difference. It's a huge difference. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe that. I love that. Thank you for sharing that, Sue. Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thanks for asking. And thanks for all that you're sharing here too. And so I know this, you know, things that we're both passionate about, we can go on and on, but I wanted to kind of ask a couple more questions here and then we could wrap up. One, it's, I'm thinking as you're sharing, people are listening like, oh, I would love to work with her. I want to find out, you know, what does that look like? So if you don't mind sharing, you know, sharing a little bit about what's that journey for people to connect with you to, you know, to work with you, that would be great.
Oh, sure. Thank you. They can track me down on Instagram. I'm Real Jen Nash. That's real, the word real, like real apple. And Jen is JenNash. And you can go to jennash.com. And I talk about my different coaching programs. I work one-on-one and I work with companies. And I love doing both. I typically work with very driven, successful women in my private coaching clientele. And then I work with a range of companies who, you know, really who are taking great care of their employees and looking at the next step.
That's important. That's important. Thank you for sharing that. So with people, with working one-on-one, is it like, you know, you say you work one-on-one, so I'm assuming it's like the individual coaching per se. Do you have group program? Do you have online, you know, trainings that people can access anytime? Like, just what else do you have to offer to us? I love to love it.
I do the classic one-on-one coaching, which we structure with the client schedules. It's usually 2 calls a month, and then I do additional support emails and texting, you know, if they're going through something. I really love to partner with them, and it's a 6-month program. Okay. I don't have any press and play, you know, current online offerings. That's not where I'm currently going at the moment, but I do know lots of coaches that do, so I know it's out there. And then, you know, companies, I have very set structures. Usually it's a week session, and it's part group training and part one-on-one coaching, which makes it invaluable, because just regular training typically only boosts productivity about 20-22%. But when you add coaching, you can shift behavior and increase productivity over 80%. It's really tremendous how adding one-on-one coaching and giving people that focus can absolutely shift them and really support them in a beautiful way.
Yeah. And I think not just for the focus person, it's good, but I think also accountability, right? Because, you know, how many of us been to training workshop, you know, seminars, you like, oh, this is good, you learn it and you grab all the materials and then it sits in your drawer, right? It sits at the desk or you save on your computer. But when you have, you know, that follow-up with, you know, again, back to showing up, like you're saying earlier, you know, when you have that coach that shows up and meets with you, it's like, hey, from what you learned, where you're going from here, right? And kind of help, you know, helps your team apply, you know, implement what they're learning, you know, definitely goes a long way. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you for being here. Any last words that you want to leave us with before we know we say goodbye?
Oh, thanks, Chair. I mean, I just want to encourage people to, like, you know, connect with the world around them, you know, even if it's just smiling at a stranger in a random moment. And also, you know, lean into all the opportunity that life provides. Believe it or not, my landlord called me this morning and he finished reading my book and he said he was waiting for his daughter to come out of surgery and he ended up talking to a cop on a New York City street. Wow. Just because he just finished reading the book and he asked him lots of questions and he said, mm-hmm. You know what? I had so much fun. So, you know, part of what we're doing with this connection is just leaning into the human experience and having a really good time doing it. So have fun.
Yeah, have fun at it. Yeah. And so where can people find your book?
The book is on Amazon, or you can go to jennash.com and click the tab that says books if they're, you know, can't remember the title, The Big Power of Tiny Connections. But yeah, or you can ask your local bookstore to order it in. Support local. I'm down with that as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jen Nash, Big Power of Tiny Connection. It's online.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jen. Appreciate you.
You're so welcome. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks. You too.